That's right. It is Wayne's 4x2. Four reviews, 2 minutes each. How are you this morning, Wayne?
I'm good, Steph. Very well. I'm actually enjoying a little bit of blue sky in Sydney. So
yeah, we got a little bit yesterday. Yeah, a bit of a reprieve.
A bit refreshing.
I don't know. I don't know what is going on. I mean, I guess we do know what's going on. It's La Nina and it's climate change. But it's always like, you know, you get these little windows of sunshine and then you sort of look at next week's forecast and then 7 days of rain. So
I think we're through the worst of it. I think next Monday, Tuesday, so it's going to be totally fine. But then more rain after that. So I think we're through the worst of it, but I think we're still going to be hanging around for a bit. Hopefully we get a dry winter, which who knows what happens with seasons these days.
Yeah, exactly. Anything like last winter was beautiful. We had some stunning, sort of just really still, dry, beautiful weather.
The world's turned upside down at the moment.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on, Wayne, but at least it's good. It's good weather. You don't have to feel so guilty about staying inside and watching TV.
No,
and movies.
Definitely
so
not.
It's
definitely
a good time to get involved in some entertainment. Wayne, let's get straight into it. What is first for our 4x2 this morning?
Okay, I'm going to start off something that I'm going to give absolute huge love to. Just finished watching Station 11. This is a HBO Max production, and Stan has it locally available and absolutely loved this show. It's based on the 2014 novel by Canadian writer Emily St. John Mandel. And appropriately, I don't know what the right word is, but it's about a pandemic that wipes out the world's population, which sounds not very cheery, but this show is much more than that. It was actually started filming in January 2020. So somehow they decided, hey, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Let's have a show about a pandemic that wipes out the world. So it started that way. It's interestingly enough, as an aside, the book, the Canadian book, was set in Toronto, and that's where they then they moved it to Chicago to be set there, and they started filming there. Pandemic hit, and they actually ended up filming it in Toronto about Chicago, if that makes sense.
Wow, okay,
but, yeah, so a bit of a strange aside. But anyway, this show is phenomenal. Starts off, it's sort of in the present day, basically a flu. They don't really go into detail about it, but it's so virulent that basically wipes out nearly the whole world's whole population. Starts out at a play in Chicago with an actor who suddenly has a heart attack on stage, and then suddenly the flu spreading around the world. But a few people survive, and then it fast forwards 20 years after, where basically there's just small communities in the world where people are surviving, I guess living off the land. And the main one it focuses on is a company called, they call themselves the Traveling Symphony, and they just sort of wander around a certain part of the United States performing Shakespeare. So that all sounds a bit strange and wonderful, and it is. As I said, it's not really focused on death and despair. It's more about human triumph, I guess. It's about community. It's about joining together to make everything work. And it's just beautiful. It sort of weaves back and forth from the present to the 20 years ahead. And Station 11 itself is a sort of as a running thread where it was a novel, a graphic novel written by one of the characters. And as you if you watch the show, you'll see how sort of it weaves all the characters together. This is just beautiful, beautifully filmed, beautifully acted. Mackenzie Davis and Himesh Patel are probably the two main actors in it. This show's had massive reviews everywhere, and I totally recommend it.
Yeah, it looks fantastic and sounds fantastic. During these times with something where, you know, the sort of the main arc is around a pandemic or something like that.
Yeah.
It'd probably be easy to get drawn into, for a writer to get drawn into, you know, the death and destruction and the sort of sensational, parts that you can pull out of that sort of thing. But focusing on different aspects is fascinating, sounds fascinating.
Yeah. And look, it's sort of, even though it's dealing with a dystopian future, it weaves in still the human connections and the relationships. And a lot of it is about heartache, about people leaving a certain situation without giving too much away. But there's sort of like a lot of regret in the show. So it sort of can relate to any sort of setting. And ultimately, I always think the best stories, whether it's a sci-fi epic or a small personal drama, it's always going to be about how humans react with other humans, really. and how well that is done is really what makes it great. And this show is great. I have no hesitation in saying that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ten episodes in total. If you're going to dig into it.
Okay, and just season one out at the moment, and we'll see what happens down the track.
Well, they've marketed it as a limited series. Right. I think I haven't read the book, but the series basically covers what the book covers.
Okay.
But then, you know, Handmaid's Tale did the same, and they've gone on the 4 seasons. So
yeah, right.
I don't think it would, but who knows? It might.
Yeah, cool. All right. Yeah, no, sounds great. I'm going to put that one on my list. Sounds great. Station 11 available on Stan. What's number two this morning, Wayne?
Okay, well, I went and saw a really wonderful little film talking about human connection. This hits all those marks. It's called Nowhere Special. This is made by the Italian director Umberto Pasolini, but it's set all in Belfast with a basically all Irish cast. And this is going to sound pretty sad and depressing, but it's sort of not. It's about a man called John. He's a window washer. He's in his mid-30s, and he's just been diagnosed with an incurable disease. He has a little boy. Sadly, there's no mother on the scene. She basically left not long after giving birth. And his main aim here is, I guess, trying to find a way to not only tell Michael that he's not going to be around much longer, but then also, I guess, screening various families that are looking to adopt. It is a very sad film, but it's certainly not depressing. It's really beautifully handled and beautifully acted. James Norton stars as the main character, John. And a special shout out to a little boy called Daniel Lamont, who plays Michael, who looks about 3 or 4, and he's really wonderful. So it is sad, but it doesn't focus on the disease that John has. We don't even know exactly what it is, although I guess you could assume it's cancer. It more focuses on like him trying to, I guess, look for a future for his son. So this is a beautiful little film. It's only about 90 minutes long. It's probably not showing in many screens at the moment. I saw it at the Dendy in Newtown. Mm-hmm. But just want a small film about human drama. I really love Nowhere Special.
Yeah, this one sounds great. And I don't know how they do it, but I mean, children that are 3 or 4 are very young.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do they get acting lessons? Are they just, they must just listen very close to the director, but it's, I don't know what I was doing at 3 or 4, but I wasn't acting in films.
This sounds funny, but I was actually talking to a 3-year-old yesterday. A friend of ours came to sort of visit, and my partner's name's Laura, and I said to her, Laura eats worms, and she believed me. She believed me, and now she thinks that my partner eats worms. So, I mean, this one's believing that sort of stuff, and now we've got one that's on screen on this fantastic saving movie, playing a great role.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating thing. I don't know. Maybe these are just the child prodigies that we.
It is. And how do those kids get in? Like, you know, I don't think the kid like goes, "Hey, mum or dad, I want to be in films." Like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it works. I guess when they're a little bit older, maybe they start dreaming of being an actor, but, I can't remember what I was doing.
No.
I was probably eating dirt. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was doing the same. Yeah, fascinating. Well, this one looks like a great one. Nowhere Special. In selected cinemas, I suppose.
Yeah, right now. Yeah, probably not everywhere, but if you can find it in cinemas right now.
Yeah, great. Okay, let's move on. Wayne, what's number 3 on the 4x2 this morning?
Okay, well, here's another TV show I really enjoyed. Well, maybe enjoy is not the right word. It's a fairly dark sort of show, but it's really, really good. It's a Swedish drama. In the Swedish words, it's Björnstad, but that translates to Bear Town in English. This came out about a year ago. It's a HBO drama, so it's got a good backing behind it, but it took forever to actually hit our screens. And it is now. So as a HBO, it's on Foxtel Binge locally. I was really looking forward to this, and it didn't let me down. It's a 5-part series set on a book of the same name, and it concerns a very small town in Sweden called Bear Town, and there's a very famous NHL player who returns to his hometown after many years playing in America to coach the local junior team. But his daughter in about second or third episodes is sexually assaulted. So it sort of brings into the drama of the small town. There was sort of enough drama there because he was for whatever reason, wasn't totally welcomed into the back into the town. There's a lot of old history there. So you've got that, and then lay on top of it the sexual assault, and then it's a lot of the, unfortunately, in a small town, they know who the culprit is, and they back him for some reason, and then not believing the girl. And it's really, really well written, as a lot of these Scandinavian dramas. There's no sort of artifice. There's no great scenes. It's just really, really well written and well acted. So I found this quite gripping. There's 5 episodes in total. So you can catch it now, Beartown.
Beartown. Where can we see that one, Wayne?
On Foxtel/Bins, yeah.
Foxtel/Bins. Yeah, okay, that sounds like an interesting one. There seems to be sort of churning out some really amazing stuff in both film and television, the Swedes at the moment.
Yeah, no, I think definitely. I mean, there's quite a lot of, I think SBS has a lot of those Nordic dramas, even Denmark and Norway and all those countries. And I think a lot actually didn't get adapted to American screens, but yeah, they do really well, especially if that slightly dark, quite gripping sort of drama that really, really pulls you into the story.
Yeah, there's some super fascinating stuff out there, and I think you've recommended a few movies in the past, and that's right. It's got this sort of interesting, cold aesthetic a lot of the time and really sort of lends itself to dark, sort of lots of psychology involved in a lot of these productions and things like that as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. Well, Beartown available on Binge/Foxtel. Let's move on, Wayne. What's the final review for the 4x2 today?
Okay, well, there are two wonderful albums came out last week that I absolutely love. I guess I could review both, but I'm going to say one for next week.
Yeah.
I had to toss up between Canada and Australia, and I went Australia. Let's be parochial, but it deserves it. And that's the new album from Camp Coat. It's wonderful. It's called Running with the Hurricane. Their first in probably three, four years since their latest, their third album in total. It's just great to have them back. So this was all produced and recorded at the famous Sing Sing recording studios in Melbourne. As a lot of artists in the last couple of years have sort of had, I guess, gap years. They were planning to sort of start making this in a couple of years ago, but delayed it through obvious reasons, and they started making this last year. Mm-hmm. Actually, in that meantime, Georgia Mack, the lead singer, actually went back to her nursing career and did a huge amount in vaccinations.
Yeah, I think Kelly, wow.
So she sort of put herself in the community. Kelly Dawn, the great bass player, I think actually moved back to Sydney for a while, but they all got together again, and it's so great to have them back. I've sort of seen this described as a softer album. I guess they've made a reputation for fierce political songs. Obviously, the opener on their last album, you know, about how women acts, especially rock acts, are treated as second-class citizens. But there's still a very powerful album. Power, I thought, doesn't have to be anger. Power can be just all the everyday things that humans still go through. So, as you'd expect from Georgia, it's a very, there's still a lot of emotions here, a lot of personal stories, and I'd expect nothing more. But I think it's probably their most well-rounded album. I'd nearly even say it could be their best. I mean, their debut album was so fantastic, but really, really enjoying this. A lot of great ballads, but also some really good rockers. And they just all gel together as a trio so wonderfully. And excitingly, we're going to see them in May at the Enmore Theatre, which was delayed from last year through obvious reasons. So it's exciting to actually go see them. I think Georgia is actually doing also 2 solo shows at the Vivid Festival at the Opera House. So we've got tickets for that as well. So our household are big Camp Coat fans, and I'm just great to have them back.
Yeah, great. Oh, God. There's so much to mention there. Firstly, I was looking at the Vivid lineup recently, and it's absolutely stellar. There's so many good events. I'm trying to decide on which ones I'll be able to make it to and which ones I can't, because there's just too many in there to choose from. But also, Wayne, I was going to ask, as someone, you know, involved in the music world, do you think we're seeing a sort of a glut of all these groups, all these artists that are now finally releasing stuff that they've been working on and sort of holding off touring on and that sort of stuff over the past couple of years? And because it just seems like we're just getting so much good music at the moment.
I think so. I mean, sometimes it's just coincidental and comes in waves, but I think there's no doubt that artists that had sort of things in the works maybe held them back a year so they could tour off them, where last year, especially 2020. They basically had to tour. And also, I guess, if they couldn't tour, there's a lot of been recording. And as we mentioned previously, like Big Thief and Beach House both have double albums because they probably recorded so much material. So I think, yeah, I think it can be a little bit coincidental, but I think it is related to the pandemic and them being like, you know, maybe shelving. And we had the same with films where some films like last year, June and The French Dispatch were held back a year, even obviously the latest Bond film. So I think it all works in the fact that, you know, the best way to expose your art is to play it live or have it in a cinema. So I think that sort of comes into it. But yeah, there's been some absolute stellar albums released this year.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, what can you tell us about the title track from this new album, Running With The Hurricane by Camp Cope?
Yeah, well, this, as you said, is the title track, and it's really wonderful. And Camp Cope always have two or three tracks on every album that I would say are anthems. Obviously, the opener when the previous album was. And this, I think, is the anthem. It's going to be so great live. So great to hear this played live. I think the two main features on this song, which I think I'd like to say are the two enormous strengths of Camp Cope, are the voice of Georgia Mack. It's just so powerful, resonates with all the fans. So that's always a huge plus. And the other one is the bass playing of Kelly Dawn. And my wife has sort of said this, that it sort of acts as a lead instrument, the bass. It really is a focus, which is probably more so in a three-piece where you can really just hear the bass. So they're my two main takeouts. The other thing is this is a very optimistic song, and there's a line that keeps getting said throughout the song, which is the only way out is up. So it's very much like, if you're feeling down, then, you know, you just break out of that situation. So it's quite an optimistic, powerful song, and, you know, a great Camp Cope song.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like a message that a lot of us might need at the moment. So here it is. This is the title track from this new album by Camp Cope. It's called Running With The Hurricane. Wayne, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.
Sounds great. See you, Steph.
Thanks,
bye.
Wayne. Bye-bye.